The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It is Friday. Glad to have you along. We're going to have some great conversation tonight as we walk through real history with historian Harry Cooper. Admiral Cooper, as you know, is the founder and director and the chief editor at sharkhunters.com. And I would urge all of you to go to that website, take a look. You can see so many pictures, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of photos, many of which are from his visits to Germany and Europe, and to South America, to Argentina, Paraguay, Brazil, looking for the truth and finding a hell of a lot of it. He has a network of people who have been advising him and giving him inside information for many years. He is the man who broke the story over 20 years ago now that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun did not die in the bunker. A double was shot and a female body was probably brought in, and those were the two who were allegedly immolated in the shallow grave in the garden above the bunker. Hitler and Braun were, according to an eyewitness, an SS officer, and remember, they would be the ones not to disclose this, but this man was of Spanish descent. He was there. Martin Bormann, the great manipulator, the master strategist, had them both forcibly drugged. Hitler wanted to stay. Had them both drugged, and they were carried out on stretchers, taken to Lake Wannsee, which is in Berlin, and put on a small three-engine seaplane and flown out of there. From where they went, from that point, we don't know, but we do believe without question that a huge six-engine Junkers 390, JU, Junkers, was standing by and had been painted in Swedish Air Force blue, light blue colors, or Swedish aviation colors. And they somehow got to that plane and were flown, perhaps nonstop, all the way to Argentina or Paraguay. We think it may be Paraguay, but no one is 100% sure. They didn't go by submarine. That's not true. We're going to find out a lot about that tonight and how Harry Cooper knows that they didn't go by submarine. He's got the proof. The new book, the updated version, Hitler in Argentina, is out. We urge all of you to get it. And at the core of the book is the single-spaced, typewritten revelations from the SS officer who was in the bunker. It doesn't get any better than this. How many people have stolen from Harry Cooper his material, his work, his intellectual property? Dozens and dozens. They've tried to profit from it. They have claimed their own discovery. It's not true. It all came from Harry Cooper, and we're always grateful that he can stop by here once a month. We have a lot to look at, so take a look at guests on the left-hand side at Rents, and you'll see Harry's name, and look at photos. You'll see the link right there. Click on the first link, and we're going to go through that group first tonight. There's a second group below that, which we'll go through later on. Hello, Admiral.
Good evening, sir. Boy, how do I follow that intro?
Oh, it's just the truth, you know. No problem. The truth has always been easy for me. It's lying that is difficult for people. They can't keep them straight. So,
yeah,
anyway.
So true.
Now, you have not been on exactly what we'd call hundreds of different radio programs. You were pretty much on this program first in any substance, and we've done dozens of programs. And
all the way 4 years. For 4 years we've been on.
Yeah, this is an invaluable treasury of living history through the eyes and physical presence of Harry Cooper and all the people that he knows in Europe and in South America. We've heard things on this program and seen things that are just stunning. And believe me, there are a lot of people listening right now who are ready and they've got their recorders running and they're waiting for another opportunity to steal more. So we'll see if we can get them to steal the truth instead of
I'm trying to get to having a good feeling about being stolen from.
Never happened.
No.
And they say it's a compliment, but no, it's thief.
It's a
thief at work.
Theft
is not complimentary. Sorry.
Incidentally, my apologies to your listeners. I got a stuffy head. We've had a cold snap in Florida here.
Now, you don't sound bad.
Okay. In the morning, though, we get up, it's like 40 degrees outside, but then by mid-afternoon, it's back in the 80s again.
Right.
Love Florida.
This sounds like you've got a little powder up your nose or something. It's all right.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
That never happened.
Okay. So what's been going on since we last talked?
Oh, wow. Just been busting my fanny here. We put the finishing touches on book number 21, which went to the publishers.
Wow.
We have Hitler in Argentina in the German language ready to go to the publisher as soon as we get the one that's there now, get it up and off the ground.
How are they going to be able to sell that book? You're not allowed in Germany to even read what they call conservative or reactionary material because you automatically go to prison.
I checked with my guy who's deep embedded in one of the secret services over there, and one of the European, and he said, as long as I don't show a swastika, I'm okay. So I've got two pictures in there of the Iron Cross first class, which does clearly show a swastika. But if I blot out half the swastika, I'm okay. You can show half a swastika, but you can't show.
Is that how asinine it is now?
Well, there's lots of crazy laws in lots of countries.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Third Reich in Germany, they're really hardcore.
Well, they're communists and globalists and Zionists, and they're not Germans. Are you hopeful that the book will actually be able to be put in bookstores or available online in Germany itself?
It'll be available through Amazon. It would be nice to have it in bookstores, but shipping books overseas is incredibly expensive.
Uh-huh.
For us, you know, we cringe at it. It costs us darn near $30 shipping just to get it overseas.
Yeah, that's not easy. I understand.
Right. And, you know, it used to be you could send it by steamer mail. You could send anything you want by steamer mail, and it didn't cost much at all. Well, now
right.
You don't have steamer mail anymore. Now everything is airmail, like it or not.
Right.
And you better have the big wallet out.
Do we know? I can't remember the totality of the typed information that came from the SS officer, and he's got five names, which I can never remember. How many pages?
Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco.
That's it. How many pages altogether did he type out about the last days?
Oh, the letter he sent me was single spaced. typewritten, 114 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a while to read through it.
Well, your jaw must have been on the floor.
That's I got this thing. I was, what the heck is this guy sending me?
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, am I glad he did. And at first I thought he was a bit nuts. You know, everybody knew Hitler died in the bunker, blew his brains out. Eva Braun took poison. Everybody knew that. Now, of course, there was once upon a time everybody knew that the world was flat.
Mm-hmm.
So then I checked in there, and he had a point in the letter. I forget what the date was, but, it was Hitler's birthday, 1945, 20 of April.
Mm-hmm.
He indicated that Admiral Dönitz was there in the Führer bunker. And so I called Captain Peter Erich Kramer, Ali they called him. I don't know where he got that name, but anyhow, I called him up. And, I wrote to him, and because he was a member of Shark Hunters,
mm-hmm.
and he was part of the defense group after, at the end of the war when they didn't have any submarines operating anymore, hardly any. And he would know, so I asked him. I didn't give him the exact date, I just said, was Dönitz in Berlin in the Führer bunker anytime in April of 45? And he wrote back, absolutely not. So I thought, well, we caught this guy in a lie, and I was going to just throw the letter away. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call from him, from Kramer. He had checked his own personal diary,
mm-hmm.
and Hitler was, or Dönitz was indeed in the Führer bunker on the 20th of April, which was Hitler's birthday. Then I double-checked it with my best friend in Germany, Oberleutnant Hans-Georg Hess, who was the youngest combat submarine commander. Well, there was one guy who was 1 month younger when he took command of his boat, but he didn't see a real heavy combat. So anyhow, I checked with Hess, and Hess was not in the bunker, but Hess rode back from Berlin to Kiel with Dönitz. He needed a ride, and so Dönitz gave him a ride back. So obviously he was telling the truth. And then in 1987, I think it was. You're going to hear me coughing a lot. Sorry.
It's all right.
We had a visitor, Captain Bob Thu, U.S. Navy, retired, and he was in Naval Intelligence his whole time. And then he went to the NSA, and he stopped in for a visit, and we were talking, and I asked him if he had ever heard of Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, and he said, sure. We knew who he was.
Oh, really?
And yeah. Well, I guess all the spies knew who all the spies were.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, this guy must be crazy. I said, he told me that he visited with Adolf Hitler in South America in 1952, September. I said, everybody knows Hitler committed suicide in April. Okay.
Harry, when was this conversation you were holding with this? This is an American now. And when did you talk to him approximately?
1987.
Okay.
And so I said, you know, everybody knows Hitler blew his brains out. And just as calmly as if he was asking for another cup of coffee, he says, no, he didn't. We knew he got away. I said, who's we? He said, the intelligence agency. We knew he got away. We knew he went to South America. He said every time we'd run down a high-ranking SS officer or high-ranking guy from the Third Reich, the first thing we'd grill him on is, where's Hitler? He said, we knew he was gone. So,
wow.
And as a kid, mm-hmm. I was a kid in the war years, and in July of 1945, Stalin was publicly screaming that the U.S. and Great Britain were not doing enough to find Hitler. And I'm thinking, well, if you got his body and he's dead from 28th of May or 28th of April, whatever, the alleged suicide, I'm thinking to myself, if he's dead and you got the body, why are you looking for him 3 months later? Well, now we know. Stalin knew he was gone. He knew he got to South America, but nobody knew where in South America.
Stalin, I understand, was enraged by this. He was furious.
Yeah, that's what our research shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Hitler and Stalin, from what I've been able to gather, really hated each other. And Stalin was looking forward to sticking Hitler's body on display in the Kremlin. But he had no body to put on display because Hitler was gone.
It's that old song, I Ain't Got No Body. Remember that one?
Yeah, from the 40s.
That's sure. Where it came from. All right.
Yeah, that must have been it, yeah.
An old Russian song. All right, now this is very interesting background. So Don Angel, all of a sudden, the letter you're holding, which the NSA didn't have unless they broke into your place and took pictures of it, is the Holy Grail. When that set in, you must have been amazed.
Once Bob Thew told me that, I just, I was absolutely astonished. And then we started looking deeper and deeper, and then we're finding more and more evidence that absolutely proved he did not commit suicide in the bunker or anywhere else. He lived out his life. He was, I think it was July of 1962. We have the exact data from another fellow. We'll cross that bridge later and down the row of photos. Died of natural causes. And Eva Braun, we know, was alive in 2002, which no big deal. She was born in 1912, so she was 90 in 2002. And people living to 90 is pretty common nowadays.
And what's really interesting about that is one of the people that you had direct or indirect contact with referred to her, or you heard that she was referred to as simply the lady.
Yeah, and Hitler was referred to pretty much as the old one.
Well, she would have been 90-something.
She would have been 90 in 2002.
Yeah, that's not undoable at all.
No. Captain Hardigan, skipper of U-123,
still with
the guy
us.
Who sank the first ship in American waters, he turned 104 this past March.
Wow.
And he's in good health from what I hear from his son.
Pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty amazing. Now, the Don Angel's letter to you, have you put that on a computer?
Well, yeah, I laid it out onto the computer, and that's what made out the... I didn't scan it, because when I got it, I got it in 1985. Mm-hmm. Computers were not what they are today.
Sure.
So I just retyped it, and that's what made up the meat of the book, Hitler in Argentina. That's the first half. The second half of the book is made up of letters from Don Angel to me and my letters back to him, and files from the FBI and from the CIA. One of our better agents suggested that I put all these files onto our website, and I might do that, but make them available only to
members.
Shark Hunter members.
Yeah. The CIA and FBI files that you've gotten, have they been spewed out over the years, redacted? How did they show up?
Well, yeah, they're redacted. You betcha they're redacted. God forbid any government agency should tell us everything. But they all pretty much tell the story. We've got one on tonight's show. I just put it up as an exemplar of what we have, but we've got a ton of them. We got dozens, and some of these we got before they were declassified, and I'm not even sure they're declassified yet. Most likely they are.
Uh-huh. Well, I saw the one memo, and we talked about this long ago, but it's my opinion that J. Edgar Hoover was a rabid Hitler hunter. He knew. The memos show the story. inside sources, he wanted to find him. He had people looking all over, especially in South America. And then there was that memo, and I can't find it. And if any of you out there can find this memo, please send it to me. It's a declassified FBI memo. It's about a half a page from Hoover to virtually everyone, instructing that all efforts to locate Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun in Argentina, Brazil, and so forth, cease immediately. That there's no reason to think that he's alive down there and we're calling off the hunt. Now, this was dated, as I remember it, about 1947. So I think that J. Edgar Hoover was not in the loop. I think he was brought into it later when Operation Paperclip began to ramp up and we started to get all of this German brain trust, these genius scientists over here, and that we couldn't have Hitler being hunted and found by the FBI because we had a treaty of some kind that allowed this to happen. The treaty was, again, the swap of all of this German scientific technological brilliance, which gave us our entire NASA program. The first director of NASA was Dr. Kurt Debus, remember. For 13 years he was the director, in exchange for allowing Hitler and Eva Braun and Martin Bormann and all the rest of them, and there were thousands and thousands, maybe more than that even, we don't know, to live out normal lives in security and safety in South America. That was the deal. And we got a hell of a deal out of that.
We needed to do that to get ahead of the Russians in the Cold War.
That's right. So that memo I have seen, it is redacted. Not so much that it isn't very valuable, and I can't find it. I wish I had put it. I thought for sure you had it, but you don't. But I did see it, and it is out there. And any of you who are really good researchers, it'd be more than just a simple Google search, I think. I don't think Google will have it, but it may be there. It's there somewhere. And it shows that Hoover is instructing everyone to stop all efforts to locate and search for Hitler and Eva Braun. And it had to be around 1947. And I think he was brought into the loop. And can you imagine? It was the phone call or the meeting. Listen, damn it, stop looking for Hitler. We've got something going on here that we're going to tell you about, but this is above top secret. And I think they told him, and I think that's what caused that memo to be released.
Most likely. Because there's no question there was a quid pro quo. Because all of a sudden, all efforts to find Hitler ceased, and suddenly, well, as I told you before, when I was in the military from January until July of 1958, I was in intensive training for special weapons, and the first week or two, we saw movies of the American atomic bomb program, and our scientists were not doing very well at all. We were running short of fissionable material. The Japanese test fired their weapon, their first test weapon, a week before we test fired ours, and they ran out of uranium. We were running out of uranium, and a German cargo submarine, U-234, which just by sheer coincidence was its number. That had nothing to do with it.
That's funny.
The atomic numbers. They were at sea when the war ended, and they surrendered in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they had on board an ME-262 jet fighter. I think they had an ME-163 rocket fighter in crates with all the technological data for the Japanese to begin construction. And they had Lieutenant General of the Luftwaffe and his staff. They were going to reopen a staff in Tokyo and try to help fight the war from there. They had a fleet judge who was going to oversee court martials of various traitors. They had Dr. Heinz Schlicker, who later became a member of Shark Hunters, and he was the world's leading expert in infrared triggering devices for the nuclear weapons, and that's where we had our problem, because the 64 shaped charges in an atom bomb all have to go off at exactly the same millimicrosecond to implode the ball of uranium to get an explosion.
Right.
And they also had 1,200 pounds of uranium on board the submarine. So.
Yeah. 1,200 pounds, huh?
It doesn't take a math major to figure it all out.
Did you figure it out in training in the Air Force that that uranium ended up in our second nuclear bomb, our atomic bomb number two?
No. When I was in the Air Force, Germans were all Nazis. That's what we were taught. Mm-hmm. Russians were all lousy commies. Germans were all lousy Nazis. That's what we were taught. All we saw was that the U.S. was making great strides despite all these setbacks. Uh-huh. And it wasn't until some years ago here with Shark Hunters that I started putting two and two together.
Yeah.
And one of our members came out with a book called Japan's Secret War. And he told all about the voyage of U-234 and how it was at sea when the war ended, and it surrendered in the United States where the crew could get better treatment. And he put two and two together and traced the steps of Japan's first nuclear bomb and ours. So that uranium was supposed to go to Japan, and it, you know, came to us by war.
Do you think we're going to take our break in a minute. So, in fact, let's take it right now, and we'll come back and finish this story. It's fascinating. It looks very much like one of our two first atomic bombs were fueled by German refined uranium.
The first one.
Yep, number one. And the Japanese, I wonder where they got the uranium for their first one. Back in a minute. Hold on. Already have this memo. This is November 1st. Looks like 1950. Let me see here. Federal Bureau of Investigation, Los Angeles. I think you have this one. I think you sent it to me once.
Okay.
But we were able to get this one. Date when typed, September 21, 1945. All right. It's redacted, but not that much. It says there's a redaction. Then it says it's obviously someone's name. Report on Hitler hideout. This is September 1945. Hitler is supposed to have killed himself. Remember, April 28th, I believe. Here's what the synopsis of the facts say. Blank reports contact with blank, and that's spelled phonetically, whatever the name was. Claims to have aided six top Argentine officials in hiding Adolf Hitler upon his landing by submarine in Argentina. Hitler reported to be hiding out in foothills of southern Andes. Information obtained by blank from blank. Unable to be verified because of disappearance. Attempts to locate blank negative. No record of him in police or INS files. Now, there's one. Here's another one. This is August 14th, 1945. Blank, Hollywood, California, reported to a blank on the street. No, no. on the city desk of the Los Angeles Examiner newspaper that upon his leaving the Melody Lane restaurant at Hollywood and Vine on or about July 28, 1945, he met a friend of his who at the time was engaged in a conversation with an individual who later identified himself as Blank, again phonetically spelled, probably a German name. Blank friend, whose identity he does not wish to disclose because of reasons that will later be explained, remarked to Blank that he would like to have him meet Blank, as it was quite evident that Blank had a problem on his mind. Blank continued that after being introduced, Blank's friend left and he spent several hours with Blank and obtained the following information. Blank disclosed to Blank that he wished to find some high government official who would guarantee him immunity from being sent back to Argentina if he told him the following information. According to Blank, he was one of four men who met Hitler and his party when they landed from two submarines in Argentina, approximately 2.5 weeks after the fall of Berlin. Blank continued that the first sub came close to shore about 11 p.m. after it had been signaled that it was safe to land, and a doctor and several men disembarked. Approximately 2 hours later, this second sub came ashore, and Hitler, two women, another doctor, and several more men, making the whole party arriving by submarines, approximately 50. By prearranged plan with six top Argentine officials, pack horses were waiting for the group, and by daylight all supplies were loaded on the horses, and an all-day trip inland toward the foothills of the southern Andes was started. At dusk, the party arrived at the ranch where Hitler and his party, this would have been in Alco, according to his party, are now in hiding. Blank.
Well, the ranch, if I can be rude and interrupt,
yeah,
the ranch,
that's fine.
Was Estancia San Ramon, because the they got there in the winter, which was July.
Uh-huh.
And they could only get as far as Estancia San Ramon, and they couldn't.
Because of the weather. Yeah,
they were locked in there. And if you'll remember, a long time ago, we covered this. We went to the Estancia San Ramon and talked to the manager of the ranch, told him who I was, what I was doing, et cetera, et cetera. And very nice guy. He was a younger guy in his 40s, spoke excellent English, excellent Argentine Spanish, which is a little different than normal Spanish, and all with a German accent. And he answered the questions no problem, without batting an eye. And when I asked him which one of the guest houses did Hitler and Eva Braun stay in for those few months, you know, the easy thing would have been to say, geez, I'm only 40-some years old. I wasn't even born yet. I don't know. No, he said, I have been instructed I must not speak about that. So that answers a whole lot of questions right there anyhow.
Wow.
So anyhow, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, it's hard to, these are old documents, and some of the words are very difficult to make out.
Oh,
so
yeah, it's real
right.
Hard to read it.
Here we go. Blank most specifically explained that the submarines landed along the tip of the Valdez Peninsula, along the southern tip of Argentina in the Gulf of San Mateus. Blank told Blank that there are several tiny villages in this area where members of Hitler's party would eventually stay with German families. He named the towns as San Antonio, Vadima, V-I-D-E-M-A, N-E-U-Q-U-E-N, Nikuin, or Nikui, I don't know. Looks like H-U-S-T-E-R, Huster, Carmina, and R-A-S-O-N. Blank maintains that he can name six Argentine officials and also the names of the three other men who helped Hitler inland to his hiding place. Blank explained that he was given $15,000 for helping in the deal. Blank explained to Blank that he was hiding out in the United States now so that he could later tell how he got out of Argentina. He stated to Blank that he would tell his story to the United States officials after Hitler's capture so that they might keep him from having to return to Argentina. He further explained to Blank that the matter was weighing on his mind and that he did not wish to be mixed up in the business any further. According to Blank, Hitler is suffering from asthma and ulcers, has shaved off his mustache, and has a long something on his upper lip. I don't know what that would be. Blank gave the following directions to Blank. If you will go... Now I got to pull up the next one here. Hold on a second. If you will go... I missed the rest of that sentence, so I'll go to the next one. Blank gave the following directions...
Some of them are pretty fuzzy.
Yeah. Blank gave the following directions to Blank. If you will go to a hotel, here we go, in San Antonio, Argentina, I will arrange for a man to meet you there and locate the ranch where Hitler is. It is heavily guarded, of course, and you will be risking your life to go there. If you do go to Argentina, place an ad in the Examiner stating, Blank, call Hempstead 8458, and I will know that you are on the way to San Antonio. The above information was given to Blank, reporter on the Los Angeles Examiner, July 29, 1945. The writer contacted Blank in an attempt to locate Blank in order that he might be vigorously interviewed in detail concerning the above story. Blank reiterated the information set out above, adding that the friend to whom Blank was talking in front of the Melody Lane restaurant was a friend of his by the name of Jack, last name unknown, but that since the introduction, he has further had conversation with Jack, and Jack advised him that while he was eating his lunch at the Melody Lane restaurant, Blank sat at his table. And, after the meal was finished, followed him out where he engaged in conversation in front of the restaurant. Blank, according to Jack, had mentioned that he had important information to divulge and solicited his cooperation in locating the proper officials to whom to impart this information. Jack told Blank that it was at this time that Blank came along and he asked Blank to listen to his story inasmuch as Jack was in a hurry. Well, Blank added that he had spent several hours engaged in general conversation, which he explained was a feeler on the part of Blank to determine if he, Blank, was all right and could be relied upon. He then advanced his story, which has been related above. Blank advised that he told Blank he would try to help him and for him to call back at the Hempstead number in a few days, and he would have some information for him. Blank continued that he immediately contacted such and such at the Herald Examiner and tried to arrange a meeting with him, and in the meantime inserted the story in the newspaper, which, according to Blank, evidently scared Blank Blank, and Blank stated that he was unable to throw any more light on the story, inasmuch as all the information obtained from Blank is incorporated in the story. So apparently this hit the newspaper, if I'm reading it right. Blank, according to Blank, did not spell his name, but simply introduced himself as Blank, which is phonetic. Blank was advised by the writer that Blank telephoned him, or if he was observed at any time, to immediately engage him in conversation to explain that the proper authorities wished to discuss this matter further in detail with him personally. To date, Blank has not contacted Blank. Blank advised that he eats two meals daily at the Melody Lane restaurant, but he has not observed the subject since the first meeting. The writer has continually spot-checked the Melody Lane restaurant at mealtime in an effort to locate Blank with negative results. The Hollywood and Los Angeles police records have been checked with negative results on the name Blank and other similar sounding names. It's almost to the end here. Blank advised that he eats twice a day. Yes. The records of Immigration and Naturalization Service were also checked with negative results under the name blank, and similar sounding names with negative results. Because of the lack of sufficient information to support the story advanced by blank, it is believed impossible to continue efforts to locate Hitler with the sparse information obtained to date. Blank tells an apparently reliable story, but admits there is some doubt in his mind as to whether Blank is telling the truth. A description of Blank obtained from Blank is follows. All right, that's the end of it. So, there's an FBI memo with lots of juicy potential to it. What do you think?
Well, oh, geez, shame on me. I start my sentence with well. It shows it.
A deep, deep subject. Sorry.
Yeah, it also shows that I'm not thinking. Okay, there are a lot of those files from a lot of different directions, a lot of different sources, and a lot of them have been published in various newspapers. The Chicago Tribune carried some, all from, quote, reliable sources, unquote. And there's no question that somebody got off a submarine. But as you'll read in my book, that was Borman. And they went ashore in far south Patagonia in the little town of Puerto Coig, and there were people waiting there for them to take them across Argentina to the far western part of Argentina, which is where Hitler ultimately lived after he got straightened out from the Estancia San Ramon. He went to, you know, everybody thinks it's at Bariloche, but Bariloche is at one end of this huge lake, and Hitler was living at another part of the lake by a little villa called Langostura. But, you know, they're close to each other. He lived in a big estate called Inalco, which has been empty since he moved out in 1955. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only one that got interior photos because I learned to pick locks and I let myself in.
Boy, were those pictures amazing. You can see them at sharkhunters.com, too.
Right. Go to previous tours. And that was under 2008 Argentina. Never touch anything, never take souvenirs or anything, just take photos. We're not grave robbers, we're researchers. And now a couple of books have come out after mine. Mine came out in 2006. My first one came out before that, which was basically the same. But the new improved version, Hitler in Argentina, came out in 2006. Some little fat guy came out with his book in 2011, and my members who've read both books say they read very, very much alike. And my book came out 5 years before the little fat guy's book. But he claims, and also Dr. Corsi, who he and I have been in communication in the last couple of weeks. Dr. Corsi also believes that 530, U-530, was the one who brought Hitler to South America, and that's not correct. Of course, Corsi was going, apparently made an incorrect judgment. The little fat guy just invented things. I remember somebody sent me a photocopy of one page where it said, when U-530 got offshore, he opened sealed secret orders. That's baloney. He had no sealed secret orders to go to Argentina. And this is the confirmation that we have used all along and was just doubly confirmed early this morning when I got an email from my very best agent, which confirmed what I had thought all along. U-530 under Otto Wermuth, who was a member of Shark Hunters until his death, he was on a combat patrol. He was sent, originally he was headed towards Halifax, Nova Scotia. Then he got radio orders, excuse me, pointing him towards New York. He went there on a combat patrol. He fired torpedoes at several ships.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to bring Hitler along on a combat patrol while you're chasing ships and then open sealed secret orders, horse feathers. The little fat guy's full of crap. So these guys went on a combat patrol, and I'm sure Dr. Corsi's listening right now. They went on a combat patrol in the area of Halifax and then got rerouted down to New York, fired some torpedoes at some ships that were all malfunctioning. They were using the Lut, the Fat, and the Zalkernig. Lut or Fat, I can't remember which is which, but some of them, the one type is designed to go in a straight line for a certain length of a certain distance and then start making figure eight loop the loop. So you fire it into a convoy and hope it hits something. And the Zalkernig is the sound, the acoustic torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
So he fired in the memo, the email I got this morning from Pizarro, who spent a whole day with Wehrmuth. Wehrmuth said he fired either 8 or 10 torpedoes at target ships off the New York coast, and they were all duds. And then they got
How frustrating is that, huh?
Oh, I know. I know. The German torpedoes and the American torpedoes at the beginning of the war, they were horrible. They all got their problems worked out, but then with these from U-530, he suspect was sabotaged. So anyhow, then they got the word that Germany had surrendered, and they were supposed to surrender to whichever of the Allies were closer, or they were closer to,
right,
whether it be Canada, England, USSR, or the United States. Well, they were right off New York, but they decided, we ain't going to surrender. And some of the guys in the crew had relatives in Chile. So they decided they're going to run for Chile.
Huh.
And
they must have had a refueling ability.
No, those boats, the Type 9 Cs, they had a good range, and they had plenty of fuel and plenty of provisions on board, which makes you wonder also, why did they have provisions for a long tour?
Yeah.
But they did, and they had plenty of fuel. So they were heading south, and they got way south of Buenos Aires. They got way, way south of there, but they got into heavy weather, into strong seas on their nose. So they used up more fuel than they had anticipated, and they realized they did not have the fuel to make it around to Chile.
Around the Cape, yeah, on the other
exactly.
side. Okay.
So they turned around and went back and surrendered in Mar del Plata.
Okay, let me hold it right there. We got to pause here for the top of the hour. So that's how they got to Mar. That's a long haul. Wow.
Yes, it is, and especially if you're boxing against head seas, it just kills your fuel efficiency.
Wow. All right. Very good. Stand by. We'll be right back.